Well, amen. Thank you, Michelle. Amen. Let's all take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Luke, chapter 17. I want to speak this morning. It's hard to believe that Thanksgiving is this Thursday, and it's already upon us. And so I thought I'd speak on being thankful this morning. I'm going to come to that subject by coming in a side door. Of course, but I want to speak to you this morning a message that I've entitled, Having a Thankful Heart. Having a Thankful Heart. I preached from these verses before. Pastor Brian reminded me after the early service this morning that I did a whole series of sermons. I did 10 Sunday night sermons years ago on that I entitled, Where's the Other Nine? Those of you that were here may remember those. Where's the other nine? And I went through this whole litany of where they could have been. And so I've preached from this passage before. However, it's not the same sermon. This is new. I've spent hours on this sermon this week. I planned on preaching something else. And then I thought, oh my goodness, it's Thanksgiving. I better do a message on being thankful. So I started praying about that and looking at that, and this passage came to mind, and I spent hours this week putting this sermon together. So it's not the same sermon that you've heard before. Now, I say that because somebody will look in their Bible and say, oh, he's preached on this before. I don't have to pay attention. No, this is new. You do have to pay attention. Orders, okay? So let's look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, and I'll begin reading in verse 11. Verse 11. So you follow along as I read the text this morning. In verse 11, it says, And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers. 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, let me just stop right there and tell you that they, by law, had to stand afar off. Leprosy was very contagious. And so when you got leprosy, you were banished. You were separated from society because you would infect others. And so they had leper colonies where only lepers went to live and to die. And they were isolated from everybody else. And the law said that if you had leprosy, that when you go down the street, you were to cover your face and you were to scream, leper, unclean, unclean, and folks would know to get out of your way. And you were to leave and not come back. And so these men were doing what by law they were supposed to do. They kept their distance from the Lord and from the crowd that was with him. All right, so look at verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priest. Now, let me stop again. Why? Why turn and go show yourself to the priest? Well, the priests were the ones who determined whether or not somebody actually had the disease of leprosy. That was not, you got to realize that, you know, there was not urgent care down around the corner. All right. So the priests were the ones who made those decisions. And if you got a spot on your skin, you were responsible to go by law to the priest and let the priest look at your spot. And if he determined that you were a leper, then you were excommunicated from the synagogue and you were sent to live separated and isolated from people so as not to infect everybody else. So only the priest could declare a person clean. And so that's what the Lord said. Look again at verse 14. Go show yourselves unto the priest. Now watch how this happens. Watch carefully. It says, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So they had the disease. It was evident. It was obvious. And when they obeyed the word of the Lord and turned to do what the Lord told them to do, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Amazing, isn't it? Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, at Christ's feet, giving him, what's the next word? Thanks. Giving him thanks. And then Luke adds, and he was a Samaritan. A Samaritan. I'll say more about that in a minute. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not 10 of you that I just cleansed of leprosy? And yet only one comes back. Where's the other 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger, this Samaritan. And he said unto him, Jesus said unto the Samaritan, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. All right, I want you to keep your Bible open, and I want to speak to you this morning on having a thankful heart. Let's pray together. Father, we ask now your blessings to be upon the Word of God. We're all thankful that we have a Bible this morning. Folks don't have to come, just hear what I have to say. But Father, we have come to hear what you have to say. This is your word that I am preaching from this morning. And so give us ears to hear what thus saith the Lord. And I pray that we will leave here today with thankful hearts for all your many blessings. You have been so good to us. And so Father, bless your word and stir our hearts with it. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. I would like to introduce you this morning to a man who I think you need to get to know. He is a Samaritan. That's what our author here tells us. Luke says he was a Samaritan. And because he was a Samaritan, the man was looked down on by his Jewish neighbors. You'll remember in the Gospel of John, John talked about the Samaritan woman, and he talked about how the Lord must needs go through Samaria, and the disciples didn't like that. And the reason they didn't like it, John put in parentheses there, he said, for the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And it was vice versa. The Samaritans had no dealings with the Jews either. They hated one another, even though the Samaritans lived right in the middle of Israel. And so Luke points out to us that this man was a Samaritan. Don't let that impact your getting to know him. He's a great guy. Wonderful guy. You're going to see that in just a moment. And I'm sorry that I cannot tell you his name, because Luke, when telling the story, did not take the time to tell us what folks called him. He belongs to a large group of anonymous people in the Bible who had amazing experiences with the Lord and who did some inspiring and wonderful things, but their names were never mentioned in the scripture. Oh, one day we'll find out their names, but right now, many of them, we don't know their names. But even though we don't know this fellow's name, we still know enough about him as we read this story to say, wow, I really like this fellow. This guy's something else. Now, what he does here is something that should inspire each and every one of us. His person, his personality, his way, I mean, even after 2,000 years of history has passed, is still as gracious and as beautiful and as fragrant as a bouquet of spring roses. But there's something else that I have to tell you about this fellow. When we first meet him, he is part of a group of wretched individuals. And when they are first spotted, the disciples and the Lord Jesus, probably when they first saw them coming their way, thought that they were a welcoming committee of some kind coming out of the town to welcome them as they passed through. But as these 10 men got closer to the group, it became very clear that they were not representatives from the city council. They were not a part of the welcome wagon. For as they got closer, everybody could see that these guys had quite a problem. You see, the bond that held them together was an incurable disease called leprosy. All 10 staggered under the weight of a common enemy, one that was for sure going to defeat them all in a horrible, agonizing, tragic death. Together, all 10 approach. And as you watch them, there is not one thing that distinguishes one from another. They all approach. They all look hideous. They all beg for mercy. In one voice, they are all crying out to the Master. And there is not one thing that distinguishes one from another. Please remember that. Now let's think for just a moment. These 10 men, just how were they all alike? Just how were they all alike? You know, in many respects, all 10 of them were exactly alike. For example, they all have the same disease, leprosy. They all are dealing with this awful plague that, without their asking, afflicted them. They all have the sentence of death hanging over their heads. Man, when you got leprosy, there was no cure. There was nothing a doctor could do for you. There was nothing, there was no potion, there was no cream, there was absolutely nothing you could do. You got leprosy, you were a dead man walking. And they all had the same disease. They were also alike in that each one of them had been cut off from their synagogue. They were no longer welcome to go worship. They were cut off. They were cut off from their friends. They were cut off from their families. Imagine that. When you got leprosy, you even had to leave your family lest your disease afflict them as well. They are abandoned bits of human wreckage. And in this light, there is not a one of them that stands apart or is different from any of the others. All 10 were in the exact same identical boat. Then I want you to notice that they were all alike in their desperate determination to live. You see, even though they know that doom is in their futures, they refuse to give up. They just won't give up. Here they are coming to what they probably think is their last hope. They heard words. Somebody told them, Jesus of Nazareth is coming. So they bonded together and they went to look for him. Oh, they don't want to die. They're hoping beyond hope that the Lord can do something for them. They are standing boldly in the face of death and are refusing to quit. I like that about them. I like that, don't you? I like folks that won't give up. I like folks that won't quit. Another common thread they share is that all 10 of them placed their faith in the Lord Jesus. You see, this is evidence from the fact that when they heard Jesus was coming, they all ran out to meet him. They put their faith in him. No doubt word had spread all over the area that Jesus had compassion on sick people, even if they had leprosy, and that he had healed other lepers in the past, and maybe he could heal them as well. And notice that they came boldly right up to where he was, and they called out and appealed to him for help. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And not only do these men pray for the Lord to help them, but then they obey his word. They obeyed the commandment that he gave them when he told them, you go to the priest. They went to the priest. They turned to obey his word. When they obeyed his command, the very second they turned to go and show themselves to the priest, well, that was proof of their faith. They believed what Jesus said. And then they were all alike in the fact that all 10 were cleansed of that dreaded disease by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of that, folks. All 10 of them. All 10 of them. I mean, surely they were all at various stages of the disease, wouldn't you think? And some were far worse than others, but it didn't matter. All 10, the minute they turned and started towards the priest, all 10 were cleansed. That was true of the Samaritan, but also of the other 9. In all these areas, all 10 of these fellows were alike. But now, notice there is one way in which they were not all alike. Once all 10 were cleansed of their leprosy, 9 disappeared, 1 came back. 9 went on, they disappeared, and 1 came back. Now think of this, folks. I mean, no doubt, as soon as they saw their skin cleansed, I mean, just think of it. The sores were gone. The blisters gone. Their skin now looks like new skin, like they had a skin transplant. Looked like a baby. There's no evidence of the disease anymore. And as soon as they looked at their skin and they saw that their sores were gone and that their leprosy had been cleansed, why, the nine just hightailed it to their families. They took right off. Let me remind you, it had probably been years for some of these people, for some of these men, since they had seen their families. And so the nine just took off. But one man, the Samaritan, one man turns back. Oh, he turned back alone. No one else turned and came back with him, but he came back and he made his way to Jesus and he fell at his feet and thanked him for cleansing him of that leprosy. Amazing, isn't it? So there you have the story. 10 come to beg, and only one returns to praise. Do you now see why I said this fella is a man that we all need to know? I mean, he was only a Samaritan, but he stands head and shoulders above the other nine, if you want my opinion. Because the other nine took their priceless gift and they went their way in silence. But we honor this man this morning because he took the time to come back to the Lord and to say to the Lord, thank you. Thank you. Now, there are two things that I want to pull out of this story this morning. First, I want to ask a question and then hopefully answer the question. Here's the question. Why was the Samaritan grateful and the nine not? You see, I said the Samaritan was different from the other nine. So let's ask ourselves, why was the one grateful and the nine not? And my first answer would be, I think it's an obvious one, it would certainly not be because of any difference in their circumstances. I've already spent 15 minutes telling you they were all alike. Everything was alike. So it certainly was not because of any difference in their circumstances. I mean, you and I read the story and all 10 of these guys received the exact same treatment. They all 10 came. They all 10 asked for help and they all 10 got it. Now, if the Samaritan had been healed and the others had not, we might could understand why the nine did not return to express their thanks. But folks, the Bible says that all of them got the same gift. They all got the same blessing. They all got this exact same treatment from the great physician. Their leprosy, think of this now, regardless of how advanced it was cured the minute they turned and started to walk towards the priest. And I'm sure as they turned to go to show themselves to the priest, they saw their skin lesions heal right before their very eyes. As they turned and walked away and the Lord healed them, I can see them now in my mind's eye. I can see that all 10 of them, I can see them looking down and saying, oh my, wow, look at that. And then looking at the others and saying, "Did you see what just happened to me?" And the guy said beside of him said, "Yes, it happened to me too. My leprosy is gone." And all nine stepped it up a notch at that point to hurry to the priest so they could be declared clean. But realize, folks, all 10 received the same miracle of healing. All 10 were equally given a new light, a new lease on life, simultaneously, all at the same time. And while they were all together, each could look at the other and see that they were all treated equally. So I don't guess that's the answer to the question, is it? Let me give you another reason. Let me give you another thing to think about. Maybe the nine became so absorbed in their gift, they forgot the giver. All right, think about that for a minute. Maybe in the excitement of, you know, they turn, they start towards the priest, they get healed, they get cleansed of their leprosy, and they look and they go, "Oh my." And they just got so excited about it that they took off to the priest and didn't stop to think about the one who had given them the healing. You know, I kind of suspect that sometimes happens, don't you? Let me illustrate. There's a fellow sitting right over here, Gil Conley. God bless Gil Conley. One of the most giving, caring men I've ever met in my life. Gil Conley is known around our church as the candy man. Sure, we all know that. If you ask half of 3/4, 99%, if you ask 99% of the children in our church to call out the candy man's name, most of them have no idea that his name is Gil Conley. They just know that he is the candy man. Exactly right. Well, a couple of weeks ago, Gil wasn't here. Now, normally when Gil knows he's going to be gone, he'll give the candy to somebody else. And somebody else will be standing, and it's down that hallway, and they pull a chair over, put the bag in the middle of the chair, and all the kids come by, and they all get a couple pieces of candy, and they go their way. But for some reason, and that's beside the point, Gil wasn't here. And as I walked down the hallway that morning, I saw several kids standing in the hallway by the chair with a puzzled, confused, dazed, frustrated look on their faces. Sort of just, you know, standing there looking around going, "Well, where is he? He's always here. Where's Candy Man? He's not here today. He's always here. Where's the Candy Man? How am I going to function if I don't get candy?" I mean, this is his spot. He's always here, and now he's not here. And you know, it's just human nature. And let me put a little parenthesis right there. Human sinful nature. That these children are not consumed with Gil being there, but are concerned with Gil being there, but they are concerned with what he brings with him when he comes. And this may in some degree be what happened with the nine. A little while ago, the nine were facing right into the darkness of the night, but after meeting Jesus, they are now facing toward the brightness of a new morning. And maybe they have become so overwhelmed with their new lease on life, with their new blessing, that they have simply forgotten everything else. Could be. But this Samaritan, you know, the one that came back? This Samaritan, let me ask you, did he not thrill over his gift of healing with joy unspeakable and full of glory, just like the other nine? Oh, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. And probably a little bit more, for he was not only thankful for the gift, but he was thankful for the giver. But unlike his compatriots, instead, listen to me now, instead of allowing the gift to become an obscuring mist to hide the face of the Lord Jesus, he made of it a glorious sunrise to give a clearer vision of the one responsible for his miracle. He allowed it to let him see Jesus. Truth is, folks, we could probably sit here all morning and discuss and analyze why the nine, the majority, were not thankful, but the one Samaritan was. I mean, I'm sure that we could psychoanalyze all of them and be here for hours on end, but there is one more thing, one more main thought that I want to impress upon you this morning that I got from this passage. I have read this so many times through the years, preached, as I said before, 10 sermons out of this passage, 10 Sunday nights in a row. But I'd never seen this until this week. Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. It says here, look, if you will, at verse 17. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Right now, look at me. All right, here, get this. Oh, get this. The ingratitude of the 9 was glaringly ugly behavior. You know, I just want to stand here and say to these 9, shame on you. And you read verse 17 and 18 that I read for you just a moment ago, you cannot help but see that the Lord was a little disappointed because the 9 were so ungrateful. I mean, there's that man laying at his feet. He looks around at the crowd. Is that what you get out of it? I don't see him. I don't think he's directing verse 17 and 18 to the man. I think he's directing it to the disciples and to the crowd around. Were there not 10 that were cleansed? Well, what happened to the other 9? Why is it that just one guy came back to thank me? I healed them all. And only one comes back? And you cannot help but see the disappointment, or hear the disappointment in his words. And I'm just simply saying, the ingratitude of the 9 was glaringly ugly behavior. I don't know if one of the windows in my office has come unsealed or uncaulked or whatever the word is. I just don't think it's in there very good. But I can hear everything that goes on outside my window. And that's a normal, I mean, that's just the way it is. I don't know why it's that way, but it's just like there's no window in there at all. And sound just comes right through. I know there's nothing in between that wall where my desk, where my chair sits, and the hallway out here. I can hear everybody walk down that hall. People stand down there and yak and talk, and I have to turn music on, turn it up, or I sit there and listen to their conversation. Can't help it. It's like they're talking to me. Sometimes they're talking about me. That bothers me a great deal. But the other day, I heard a parent, And I heard these two sisters, and they were yakking at each other. And the older one, because I knew it was the older one, because her voice was deeper than her little sister's. And they were going down the hallway, and you can hear the door open. You can hear the door shut. Then you can hear the other door open and the other door shut. And usually the kids open it, bang the rail that is alongside the church. I hear it all. And when they got outside my window, I heard the mom say, "Quit being so ugly to your little sister." And I thought, yeah, mom, tell her. Tell her, mom. You see, folks, the truth of the matter is, we can be ugly to one another in a heartbeat. I mean, in a thousand different ways. Just like that, we can be ugly. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where's the other 9? I tell you where they were. Being ugly. Being ungrateful. Being ungrateful. By their failure to give thanks, they grieved the tender heart that had given them healing. You know how some statements just seem to, when you hear them, they just stick in your mind. You don't forget them. I heard years ago in a workshop, this was probably 18 years ago, and a pastor was given a workshop. We were preaching, I was preaching in a conference, and there was a pastor there giving a workshop on raising children. And he said this, he said, and I never forgot it. He said, "A thankless child is sharper than a serpent's tooth." And I never forgot that. You know, it can just crush you when you give and give and give, and then no gratitude is ever shown for your giving. The strongest of hearts can be crushed by ingratitude. Notice their thanklessness made it impossible for him to give them any more. Would you think of that? You see, folks, leprosy is a horrible disease. It starts with a spot. And then a spot becomes a sore. And then it eats, and it eats the flesh and the tissue and the muscles and then the bones. And then you wake up one day and your hand is gone, eaten off in the middle of the night while you slept through the pain. And so happy were the 9 as they turned and walked away. So happy was the 9 that their sores were gone. The bleeding was stopped. They had skin over their sores where sores had been. The pain was finally gone. And so happy were they rejoiced in what mercy they had received. And they ran to the priest and no doubt then ran home to their families once declared clean. But notice how beautifully different was the Samaritan. He got the same cleansing that the other 9 got. But instead of running on to the priest, he turns and he comes back to thank the Lord Jesus. Folks, this is why I was so eager for you to meet him this morning. I mean, even after all these centuries, his story warms our hearts. And notice how thrilled the master's heart was when he came back. The Lord must have wanted to make sure the disciples understood how impressed he was that this Samaritan was coming back to say thank you. For in verse 18, it's like he's speaking to the crowd, not to the grateful Samaritan, but it's like he's speaking to the crowd. You can hear the disappointment that he had toward the 9, but you can also hear the appreciation that he had for the Samaritan. And notice how this thankfulness that the Samaritan had enriched his life. You say, whose life? The Samaritan's life. Notice how enriched being thankful helped the Samaritan. Picture this in your mind. All right? I'm going to do you a little scenario here. I want you to go along with me. Play along with me, okay? Just play along with me. In your mind, I want to take everyone, and many of you have been to Israel with me. All right, you know what it's like. Let's go to Galilee. Are you there in your mind? It's warm. It's nice. I want you to picture the rolling hills. Barren rolling hills. I want you to picture those little villages. You know Beit She'an, where all the Roman ruins are? Picture Beit She'an. Picture some of those little towns up there. And we're now walking with Jesus. And we're coming into one of those little towns. And all of a sudden, here comes 10 men. As they get closer, you realize, oh man, these guys have leprosy. Oh dear. You stop. They stop. They cry out, Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. And the Lord Jesus raises his finger. You're standing here going, don't you take another step. The Lord Jesus stops and puts his hand up and he says, guys, go show yourselves to the priest. Look at their faces. Can you see their faces? One of them looks over and says, what did he say? He said to go show yourselves to the priest. Well, if that's what he says, let's go. Okay, what do we got to lose? What did any of them have to lose? And all ten turn at the same time. And they start walking away. Now, as I said a moment ago, if you had leprosy, I mean, it may start on your foot. It may start on the back of your hand. It may start on your arm. It may start on your nose, your forehead. Who knows where it'll start? But wherever it starts, oh, it's awful. And let's suppose the nine are in various stages of decay. Some of them have lost a leg. Some of them have lost an arm. Some of them have just lost their fingers. Maybe just lost a hand. And there they are turning and they go away and they look down and all of a sudden they're cleansed. Now, if he lost his fingers, he was cleansed of his leprosy, he still has no fingers, right? But he just doesn't have leprosy anymore. His fingers are still gone, but his skin's clean. So they run back to the priest. But here comes the Samaritan and he falls down. Look here, folks. Look at your Bible. Verse 17, Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where's the nine? There are not found that returned to give glory to God except this stranger. And he, Jesus, said unto him, the Samaritan, the one that was at his feet, arise, go thy way, thy faith. Hey, look at me. Look here. Let's say the Samaritan has no fingers. Leprosy has eaten it off. And there he is on his face. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you did for me. Where's the other nine? Were there not 10? And the only one that comes back is this Samaritan? This stranger? Sir, thy faith hath made thee whole. You with me? I just got glory bumps all over me. I mean, whoo! Thy faith hath made thee whole. I mean, could you imagine that guy? He might have walked up there with just
eaten off to the elbow. Who knows?
He might have had to crawl because it had eaten off his legs. He was cleansed. But when he came back to say, thank you, then he was made whole. Now, here's the application. The other day, I stopped to get gas at the Jiffy Mart up by the airport. And it said, do you want a receipt? I said, yes. Pushed a button. Put the gas in the car. Put the lid, put the thing up. Stood there printing the receipt. See cashier for receipt. So I had to go in. I need a receipt on pump 5. The guy starts pressing buttons and he goes, you look familiar. I said, yeah, I get that a lot. I said, I'm the pastor at Church of the Open Door. That's right, he said. Church of the Open Door, that's where I've seen you. He said, I was standing here looking out. I said, I know that guy. Where do I know him from? I said, you don't want to push the button and make me walk in here? He said, no, it's out of paper. Church of the Open Door, I got saved 5 years ago at the Living Cross. I said, well, praise the Lord. Yeah, we come every year now. I said, well, praise the Lord. Yeah, I got my whole family. My whole family's been saved. I said, well, glory to God. I'm glad to hear that. I said, where do you go to church? Well, I don't go anywhere to church. Are you kidding me? You know, I remember when years ago, when I first started into the ministry, you led somebody to Christ, they were going to be in church on Sunday. That's just the way it was. Now we lead somebody to Christ, we got to go bail them out of jail. We got to put gas in their car. We got to go take them down to Goodwill and buy them some clothes so they can have something to wear. I mean, and then they tell you they're going to be here. They don't ever come. It's the meanest thing I've ever seen. I cannot tell you how many times people have come here and you go back to them and say, good to have you. Been here before? Yeah, I was here for your Christmas program. I was here for your Living Cross. I was here for this or here for that. I got saved that night. Really? How long ago was that? Well, that was, 12 years ago. And you're just now getting to church? Now, I've never said this, but I've wanted to say, you ingrate? You ingrate? I would never say that. So, you know, all this soul winning, it's soul winning. Why don't we ever see these people come to church? Folks, our job's not to get them to church. Our job is to get them to heaven. It's God's job to get them to church. You tell people how to get to heaven, God will tell people how to get to your church. We've just got it all backwards. And how do you know they're really saved? Oh, so we're not supposed to go tell anybody because we just can't tell who's really saved. It's not our responsibility to figure out who's really saved. Let me take you over to Fletcher's funeral home. You walk in there and say, is that guy really dead? He doesn't look as really dead as that guy looks. Now, if you're dead, you're dead. And if you're saved, you're saved. And how do you get saved? Do you save them? Does the church save them? No, it's the Lord that saves them. And I want you to notice, folks, this Samaritan had his life so much more greatly enriched by coming back to say thanks. Now suppose this man had his fingers got, now he's got his fingers back. His forearm got, now he's got his forearm back. When he turned with the others to go to the priest, he was cleansed of leprosy, but his hand was still missing. Oh, the disease was gone, but so was the hand that the disease had eaten away. But coming back with a grateful heart caused the great physician to do even more for him, and his faith in Christ made him whole. Can you imagine the joy in his heart when the instant Christ said these words, his hand came back on his wrist? You know, there's something to be said for a grateful heart. That's my point. There's something to be said for a grateful heart. If a man gets saved, it's a good thing for a man or a woman to come to church and to grow and to serve and to read their Bible. And in so doing, that person who shows gratitude to the Lord for saving their soul is even going to get more enrichment from the healing touch of the Lord. Or you get saved and your spiritual leprosy is cured, but when you come to church and grow and serve and get baptized and join the church, God, when you have God's Holy Spirit speak to your heart, and you show a little appreciation for the miracle that is salvation in the coming and being thankful, there's enrichment. The Lord will make you whole. You see, he can fix relationships. He can fix attitudes. He can fix hearts. He can fix what's broken. He can fix what doesn't work. You know, most of us are as broken as we can be when we get saved. The leprosy of sin has just about devoured us whole and ruined us and made us a complete and total wreck. But coming to church, learning Christ, growing, serving, showing gratitude enriches us beyond just being healed of this horrible sin disease. Showing gratitude allows the Lord to make us whole. Not perfect. Oh, please understand that. Not perfect, but whole. Having a thankful heart.